Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the After Show. I am your host, Michael Rose, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Ms. Kelly Guimont. Kelly, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We're working towards our cadence.
Yeah.
We're working on our cadence. We're recording on a Monday night, unusually enough. This is the Monday, August 17th when we're recording. And there's stuff going on. There's things afoot. There's things afloat. In particular, well, I just have to share that we're trying to here on the left half or the right half of the United States, we're trying to prepare and sell our domicile. If you are someone who is looking for a house in Brooklyn, New York, call me and we'll talk or tweet me or whatever. Review the show and you
Mike has one to get rid
that's
of.
Right.
Apparently.
If you review the show, you get 5%. No, we're cleaning. We're cleaning and prepping and starting to get ourselves organized to potentially sell our house. And those of you who know my wife, or even if you don't know my wife, imagine someone who is very fond of books, who professionally deals with a lot of books, and decided that she was going to take all the books in the house that were relevant to her profession, and she was going to relocate them to her office. So yesterday, we spent the bulk of the afternoon just going through the bookshelves in our living room and removing, trying to get them down to like one layer of books, you know, nothing horizontal, nothing double stacked, one layer of books, and take all the books that she thought she might want to have at the office, you know, box them up to take to the office.
Right.
We have now in our living room a stack of, I think, 14 file boxes. Full of books. And this was just the excess.
This was the
overflow.
Some books. Yeah, this isn't your library.
No.
Ready to go.
No.
Wow.
This is the excess. So I will take pictures of this giant stack of boxes and the bookshelves that they came off of, which look very neat now. And we'll post them to the show blog. But in the context of this, she just showed me a little meme that said my housekeeping style can best be described of as there appears to have been a struggle. Extremely amusing.
I know that feeling.
I resemble that meme. So how are things out there in Portland, Kelly? What's going on?
I'm not moving.
Good.
So there's that. I am moving more effectively. My knee is still on the mend, so that's a good thing. And I have the crazy backyard garden again this summer.
Yay.
So it's just harder to harvest because I'm all gimped up with the knee brace. So so that's been kind of rough. But today, actually, is the first day of App Camp for Girls in Portland, August edition.
Yay.
2015. And it's so much fun. I'm super excited to see where everything goes. You can't really ever tell Monday afternoon when we're done how things are going to turn out, but it seems like even the kids who like it seems like everybody's engaged, and even the kids who don't know each other, which is most of them, seem to be socializing with the others, and that's not that can be a hard thing to do when you're going into eighth and ninth grade. And so so far it's all been it was just one day, but so far it's been good. And I can't wait to see how it turns out. I'm always super excited about App Camp and making it happen. I really like getting to execute after spending the rest of the year talking about how great it is and why people should be part of it and why you should be excited to have one where you are. It's always really fun for me, the 2 weeks in Portland that we do that I actually get to help make it happen. So,
well, considering I'm going into 37th grade or 33rd grade or whatever it is, and I still sometimes have trouble dealing with new people.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Lots of people do, but like when you add the extra layer of teenage high school awkward, sometimes it can be rougher. So
And they spread it on thick with a knife, don't they? The teenage high school. Oh, it's just like
they do.
They just like take a trowel like you'd use to caulk something or you know.
Mm.
Yeah, apply tile. They just
totally
pour it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's great. I mean,
so it's been fun.
Yeah.
I'm super pumped to see what the quiz apps are going to look like at the end of the week. It's going to be great.
And this is the second camp where you guys are doing Swift instead of Objective-C, or is it?
Indeed.
Okay, cool.
Well, in Portland, we did, it made its debut in 2015. We had camps in Vancouver, BC and Seattle before Portland in July. So it's actually the fourth camp.
Nice.
to have Swift. But the great thing about Swift is that compared to previous years, it's basically like we got an extra day of camp because we, it goes so much faster. There's a lot less, fiddly stuff that has to be explained. And so you're able to really get down to the code a lot quicker in, Swift than we could in Objective-C. And the other nice thing about that is that it gives us a little more time to go over the presentations, because on Friday they give a presentation to a panel of investors. They have to pitch their app.
Right.
And I love doing it, but it's sort of, I worry about the girls because sometimes they get really stressed out about having to speak publicly. And so being able to take a little bit of the mystery out of that in July and make that work a little better because they had a little more time to kind of sit with the presentation and a much better idea of what they were able to expect because we had extra time to sit down and really go through it. That part was really awesome. So I'm hoping we will get the opportunity to do the same thing again in August. And I'm really glad of that. What I'm not really glad of is that it's going to be 100 degrees tomorrow, which we don't do here.
The hipsters will melt and stick to their donuts.
A girl can dream, but the rest of us are also just going to be uncomfortable and it's unhappy.
Don't start writing checks you can't cash, Rose, is what you're saying. If I don't see a stack of sodden, stuck to donut hipsters on
my
stoop.
Yeah, if I can't find a puddle with a white belt in the middle, I'm going to be really angry.
Oh my God, my mustache cream is all gloppy. All right. It's like you folks, you realize you're listening to a podcast that originates from Brooklyn, New York,
Portland
and Portland, Oregon. So if we occasionally grow a trifle snide, just understand that we are coming to you. We are broadcasting to you quasi live from Hipster Central.
Basically, yes.
Can't be helped. You know, actually, not at App Camp, but at regular camp, my daughters just finished there 3 weeks away,
and
they were picked up by their grandparents, so we've not seen them yet, but they are back in civilization, and I don't think I mentioned this because I don't think we were on hiatus when this happened. Our drop off, we have a 10-year-old daughter and a 14-year-old daughter, and the 14-year-old generally treats camp drop off the way one would treat a light spring shower. It is an event of no consequence. She's like, okay, bye, see ya, thanks for putting my stuff away, and now I'm gonna go hang out with my friends. The 10-year-old takes it a little harder. This year, for the first time, even though she's been going to camp, this is her fourth year, she had a complete and total meltdown. She was very, very upset. She didn't want to stay. She was crying. She was screaming. It was very unpleasant and difficult for everybody involved. So, fast forward 3 weeks, she's been fine. She's been fine. She's had a great time. She's had a wonderful time. And at the end of, we found out when we spoke to her yesterday that at the end of camp, the counselors all gave them little keepsake tokens with their most notable characteristic on the token. And our younger daughter got a token that said happy.
Aww.
Which is adorable, and also that kid will be the death of me. Because, she got it all out of her system on the first day. Anyway, they're back, or quasi-back, and we're glad of that. They are not coding in Swift, but they are hopefully spending some time at the beach and enjoying themselves. But there was a tech point to this, which is because I have security alerts set up on all the Google accounts for which I have some sort of fiduciary responsibility. I was notified this afternoon when, after 3 weeks of no devices and no email, my older daughter logged into her Gmail account apparently via her grandmother's phone in Safari. So that was hilarious. She couldn't. She could not keep herself digital free any longer. But
yeah,
you know, that's how that goes.
That's true.
Yeah, you can't keep them down on the farm. Anybody else got something going on? We've got there's a few things going on. There's self-driving cars.
Yeah.
Which I believe The Guardian ran with a story that got a little bit of flack, a little bit of abuse, basically saying that Apple has reputedly contracted with a test facility in California, a large, like 2,000-acre test track, fake urban environment where one might test something like a drone car, and as a result, saying that this is happening. I personally would love a self-driving Apple car. I don't know if I've said that out loud before. I admit it. I would love a self-driving Apple car. That would be a great thing.
Yeah.
But I just don't think it's, I don't know. I think we're at the very, very, very early stages of this. And I don't think it's going to be a product anytime soon.
No, I don't either.
Okay.
I think in my lifetime.
Yes.
But I also think I'm going to live a long time, and there's a very real chance that I will have had my license revoked by the time.
Which will be perfect.
This turns into a thing.
I mean,
so maybe at that point I'll get to ride around in a car without anybody else again.
Well, for old people, this is actually a fantastic thing. I mean, this is going to change the way old people live their lives and get around and do all sorts of things. But
Which would be great.
I think my kids are probably the last generation, could well be the last generation that actually gets driver's licenses for cars that you have to drive.
See, and here's the thing, is that I like to drive.
Yeah, I do too.
I like it. I like to get in the car. I like to head east. I like to get on the freeway and see where I end up. I like to visit my family because I like to drive that drive. Now, granted, I have an unfair advantage, which, Mike, you have witnessed.
Yes.
Because part of that drive is through the Columbia River Gorge as I head eastward.
And shiny.
Yeah, I've actually taken I played tour guide and took Mike to Multnomah Falls, which is something that happens in that it.
It's
Multnomah Falls is a place that is in the gorge. Yeah, it's a beautiful drive, and I remember making the joke to Mike that the reason everybody in Oregon thinks they are a photographer is because when you live in Oregon, you basically can't take a bad picture. So that's kind of how it works, and the thing about it is that. Part of why I like to drive is because as a kid, it represented freedom. I grew up in the wilderness.
Right.
And so being the master of your own destiny was huge. Like the first time your parents let you take the car to a town 25 miles away because you wanted to go to the movies with your friends, that was a huge deal. And it was like this big independent thing. And like my sister-in-law, has a son who just turned 16, and he has mild at best interest in getting his license.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why is this a thing you waited? I don't understand it. Like the day I turned 14, I started studying the manual to get my permit when I turned 15 and like got it on my birthday and did the same thing with my driver's license. I wanted it so badly. And it was for freedom. It was to be able to do whatever I wanted to do for a change and not have to have my parents drive me around and be able to make my own plans and not have to worry about what anybody else at my house was up to and having to coordinate with all of those people. So part of why I like it is because of what it represented as a kid. And that's something that is still hardwired in me. I will still take a Depeche Mode album or perhaps a Pet Shop Boys or New Order album, and I will play it really loud with the windows down while I'm driving down the road. It is still to this day a thing I like to do. When that stops being fun, you might as well just put me on a nice floe and send me out to sea.
Polar Bear Kelly.
So there's a show title for you. Put me on a nice floe and send me out to sea.
There we go. Done.
So for me, it's almost a sad thing that you can probably see the end of driving skills in some ways. So Well, so I'm a little disappointed in it for that reason.
It may remain as a rite of passage, but it's one of those things where you don't know what the generational response will be from a you can imagine it from a sci-fi perspective, and also it's likely that the self-drivingness of them is going to be big cities and highways, but not necessarily in rural or smaller communities or other areas where the road information is less current and less reliable. These cars
are less there, much like the roads.
Yeah. And, okay. And I've been thinking about what a self-driving car would do if it were in our neighborhood, where you have to park in front of a hydrant if you need to like run in and get somebody, or, you know, I mean, you have to do things that are not legal,
right,
in a way that is not antisocial. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what it's not clear to me how those decisions are going to get made. It'll be hilarious if the self-driving cars from various technology companies end up with the personalities of the existing products of those companies. Like, so your Apple car will take you to the nicest restaurants and to the most fashionable gallery openings, but will refuse to operate on anything other than premium gasoline, just on general principles.
Yes.
And your Google car will work great everywhere you go and knows what you want to do before you want to do it. But if you happen to get out of cell phone range, it simply stops.
Yes.
And you have to roll it back towards the tower.
It back towards the cell tower, yeah.
So I am
this idea. I'm still like, because it reminds me of that list that used to go around in email when people still sent jokes via email. And it was if tech companies made cars.
Yes.
And, you know, one of them was if Microsoft made cars, every time you bought a new car, you'd have to get all new roads. And you could only drive the car on the roads that were built during that car's lifetime. And, you know, yeah.
Well, and then there was this sort of general sense of if computer companies made cars, they would get 100,000 miles to the gallon and go 500 miles an hour and smell like flowers. And every 500 miles, they would crash unexpectedly and kill everyone inside.
Right.
Which these cars may do. We don't know.
Even still, we're not sure. And yeah, and I think there's an awful lot. There's going to even still be an awful lot of room for improvement in the technology that powers these. I like the idea, because this is a thing that is starting to get more attention in Portland. I like the idea of cars being able to manage traffic in some way.
Yes. To disappear when you don't need them and show up when you do.
Yeah. Or even just, you know, make it so that the person behind you can't follow you so closely that as soon as you tap on your brakes, they have to screech to a halt, and now everything behind you in that lane is screwed up. You know, and then, like, to be able to space things out and maybe make things more efficient. I like the possibility that that's a thing that can be regulated. Even if you are driving the car, like, you could put it in some sort of traffic awareness mode and have some sort of regulator on that. Like, you can't be that close to that car. And if you're only going this speed, like, you have to have this much space between you and the car in front of you and things like that. To be able to sort of use those suggestions to maybe make it so that everybody gets where they're going more quickly.
I think that would be a great idea. And I
would love that.
I would also like them to smell like flowers, but
that would be a bonus.
I'm not going to throw them off the road for not smelling like flowers. So this is one of those technologies that I feel like, you know, I am expecting it at some undefined point in the future. But then again, we have, you know, watches with phones on our wrists now.
Yeah.
And we have TVs in our pockets. So maybe I should revise my estimates and look for them sometime this decade. What else is going on? We have, I got horrible kernel panics. I almost don't want to talk about them because they're just unpleasant.
Kernel
panic.
It's like
a social disease, kernel panic. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to remain stable for several days in a row. I have got a MacBook Air with the dreaded Intel 4000 integrated graphics. And I don't know whether it's my USB Ethernet adapter or a hub or something else, but this poor machine, and this, by the way, this is consistent since Yosemite 10.10.3. There's a number of folks who are having a fairly predictable set of symptoms that includes a kernel panic. And just not a lot to be done for it. I mean, it's just unfortunate because I tend to be talking on the phone on my computer and in the middle of a meeting, and suddenly everything locks up. I'm like, damn it. calling from the phone.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's not good. It's not good.
No.
So if anyone out there has a good... There's a very long troubleshooting thread, which I'll share in the notes. And if anyone out there has good suggestions, I am trying to eliminate any non-Apple Kexts. I had my Ethernet adapter, a USB Ethernet adapter. It was sitting directly on a USB 3 hub. I have moved it to a USB 2 hub to see if maybe there's a timing issue or something else that's going on with USB 3 and that Apple's Ethernet adapter. The Kext in question is the one that seems to be unloading right when it crashes is the USB CDC or the one Kext that's responsible for things like Ethernet adapters. So I moved it. We'll see if we'll give it a couple days, but I mean I'm now far enough away from my IT troubleshooting career that I no longer find these things to be an interesting challenge. I just find them annoying and I want it to work.
Yes, absolutely.
It's funny when it happens to someone else.
Yeah.
Or fun, I guess. It's a fun challenge. It's never funny.
It's entertaining, yeah.
But it's really a drag when it happens to you. Like, unpredictable kernel panics are the sort of thing that make you lose faith in everything. Like, I mean, I don't even want to go in my self-driving car anymore.
Oh.
Ugh, it's just very depressing.
This is the worst.
It's awful. Not so awful, however, diversity numbers from Apple.
That depends
awful.
On who you ask.
Depends on your perspective. What was your takeaway on those?
Well, because I guess I'm considered diversity.
They don't know you that well, that's all.
Yeah, well, yeah, but also, there's a percentage,
yes.
And so people are all sort of complaining that most of it's in retail and that it's only 1%. Well, guess what? That 1% was 11,000 women. 11,000.
That's a lot of employees.
And that is so many, like they even said, and I want to make sure I'm getting this number right because it is important that I get this number correct. So here's the thing about this to me that I think a lot of, like, I'm not trying to apologize and I'm not trying to say that, oh gosh, Apple's doing a great job, because maybe they're not, you know, everyone could do better. And the reason I know that is because it's still about 70-30 at all the companies that have released these numbers. So... you know, so there's that percent and people are talking about how, oh, it's just retail. But a lot of the people who are working in Apple retail are people that have to have a certain amount of knowledge because they are the people with whom you talk about the problem that you're having. Just because they work in a retail store doesn't mean that they don't have to have some technical knowledge, particularly if it's Apple. And that's the thing that I find really frustrating is people are very dismissive of that. Oh, it's just retail. I understand that it is not necessarily some of the engineering positions. These aren't necessarily people that were all hired in Cupertino. This isn't necessarily, you know, there's still a problem to be addressed. And I get that. And I'm not saying that that's not the case. But in the past, here's the exact sentence from the letter that Tim Cook has at apple.com/diversity. In the past year, we hired over 11,000 women globally, which is a 65% increase over the previous year. Now, find me a company that has hired 11,000 people in a year. Can we talk about that for a minute? That's so many people. I don't care who they are. Any company that can hire 11,000 people in a year that has that capability, that capacity, is impressive. Full stop. You're never going to convince me that any company doing that well is
that's hard. It's yeah. really hard.
You're
it's
never really, going to convince me that that's
hiring,
a bad
hiring
thing.
One person is tough.
Right. This is 11,000 the world over. Now, here to me is the far more alarming statistic. Everybody is so dismissive of like, oh, Apple hired women. Here's the next sentence. In the United States, we hired more than 2,200 black employees, a 50% increase over last year. Can we talk for just a minute about, because here's the thing, is that there have been moments as someone female in technology when I have had things rougher than a dude who would have been in the same position. The end. That's the truth. Sometimes. Yeah. Now, I feel like I have had it easy for a number of reasons. One of those is because my chosen tribe is the Apple tribe, which is by and large very friendly, very welcoming, very kind. There's no Gamergate equivalent in the Apple community. Like, that's if there true. Is, they've been so shouted down that like they are effectively invisible.
Yes.
As a woman who shoots my mouth off on the internet on a regular basis, if that group existed, I feel like I would know about them, and I don't. So another reason that I think maybe that I feel like I have sometimes not had as hard a time as maybe I could have is also because I'm white, and I think that there's a certain amount of that that goes with it as well, because I have met people, I have met men and women of other ethnicities who have told me stories about how sometimes they have ended up in a rough situation, and it is far, far worse, both men and women. And as long as they're not white, it is an order of magnitude more difficult for them. And I feel like as a white girl, it is sometimes more difficult for me. I know for a fact I have worked at jobs and been paid less. And been paid sometimes 30 to 40% less after a couple of years of seniority than the new guy that they just hired who sits at the end of the row. I know that to be the case. I know this for absolute fact. So, and I have seen new people get promoted over me, even though I knew more stuff, even though I worked harder, even though I had better attendance, even though I took more calls or answered more emails or whatever it was, whatever metric you wanted to use to measure. As long as you're measuring dangling genitalia, then the other person, then that guy, of course, is going to win. And so he gets promoted and I don't. And there are days when it is easier to deal with that than other days. And I'm just going to leave it there. So I feel like if people are going to call Apple out, don't be dismissive about the fact that they hired 11,000 women for retail, because those are still people who need technical knowledge, whoever they are. People come in and you have to be able to assess a situation technologically. Is the phone dead? Is it just freaking out? Is it just somebody who doesn't know any better and maybe needs 15 minutes of education? Am I the person to give them that education? I have to know enough about the Apple Watch if I'm the person that they've put on the tryout table who needs to be able to explain things to people and understand what those things are. When I'm working at an Apple store in New York, and some dude in a blue shirt walks in with a MacBook that has an Intel integrated graphics processor and says, look, here's the skinny. I need to be able to assess something for that guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, after, of course, freaking out and recognizing him. So, there's some inside baseball for all of you playing along at home. And so I feel like there's more to this story, and I don't want to be dismissive of the fact that, first of all, this company hired 11,000 people, and now that's 11,000 women, which is a portion of their overall hiring. Holy cow. So there are 2,200 black employees, which, like I said, was a 50% increase, which means last year they hired 1,100 black employees. And 2,700 Hispanic employees, a 66% increase.
Well, and let me make sure that what was the number of black employees this year that was hired, and what was the percentage increase?
2,200, yes. 50%.
Okay, so that doesn't mean that it was 1,100 last year. because that would have been 100% increase.
Oh, okay.
It means that it was somewhere in the middle there. You take 50% of what, so about 1300,
okay,
give or take. But quibbling, big increases in minority hiring from a painfully low baseline.
Mm-hmm. That's really my concern, is that again, if you know, like, I have a hard time not being male, but some other people have a way harder time for not being white.
Yeah.
So I want to call that out, because that's the part that people are sort of, I think, missing out on or not reading, because it's sort of getting buried in the fact that people are trying to dismiss that a company hired 11,000 people and that was nowhere near the total amount of hiring they have done in the last year. So the other thing that I think is interesting about Apple's numbers that you're not seeing anyplace else is, because Facebook has diversity numbers, Google has diversity numbers, and Yahoo has diversity numbers. Those are the ones I've seen so far. There may be more, and if there are, please send them to me, because I'm curious. It tends, within a few percentage points, it's about 70-30, and that's male and female. And that when you look at anybody, when you look at things by race instead of by gender, they all sort of look the same. It's like half white and then, or better, and then all the rest is mixed up between all the other, like every other race that shows up in the thing, in the survey. And Apple is actually showing what they've done this year. The other companies are showing their current makeup. So here's where we are today. Not, we have hired this many people in the last year who are Black or Hispanic or female or whatever. They're not, nobody else is breaking down what they're doing now, just here's where we are, and not how they've done anything to affect any sort of change.
Right.
So I'm glad that Apple is putting this stuff out. They put it out last year, they put it out this year, and they're being held accountable for it. And the part that I am unhappy with is the way that people are being so dismissive of who they're hiring. And I'm not saying that they don't need to hire more female engineers. I'm not saying they don't need to hire more Asian or Hispanic or Black or whatever people to work in Cupertino on the big brain stuff. I want that to be the case. I really do want that to be true. However, the fact that Apple is putting this out there and being accountable and taking the hit for it is something that none of those other companies are doing. They're putting out a diversity report just saying, here's where we are now, not here's what we're doing. You know, basically the other ones are, here's where we are. Gosh, it'd be swell if we hired more women. And that's it.
Well, it's actually not entirely dissimilar from the difference between Amazon's sales numbers and Apple sales numbers.
Yeah.
You know, Amazon says we've sold more Kindles in this quarter than we ever sold before. That's great. How many Kindles did you sell? We're not going to discuss that.
More than ever before.
More than ever.
The bar graph. It's 2 inches taller than the one for last year.
The Bezos graph, the Bezos bars. Yes. Look at how much taller it is. And whereas Apple, for better or worse, is held to a different standard by the street. Mm-hmm. It's held a different standard by shareholders and by constituents and by itself. Saying, no, we're gonna tell you what we're gonna tell you. I mean, we may not tell you everything. We're not gonna tell you how many watches we sold, but you'll know that we're not telling you how many watches we sold. We're gonna tell you how many phones we sold. We're gonna tell you how many Macs we sold. We're gonna tell you how many iPads we sold,
right?
Et cetera, and so forth. So that's what we are dealing with here. We are talking about a difficult and painful and challenging situation that needs to be rectified. Historically, it needs to be rectified, and needs to be rectified in the decisions of people who are managing, and the people who are applying, and the people who are educating, the people who are applying, and the people who are working with the people who are making the hiring decisions, to help them understand that there are lots of qualified people who happen to be people of color and people of femaleness, and who need to be included, who need to be part of the conversation, need to be part of the choices that the company is making. And Apple has made strides. You can argue whether they're great strides or de minimis strides, but they're strides. And we have a way of comparing them to where they were.
Yeah.
And for a lot of companies, we don't even have that.
We have none of that.
We have none of that.
All you have from Amazon is, like, we have Kindles full of women, and that's it.
Okay, new show title. You had to wait the full half hour. Kindles full of women. My Kindle is full of women and a lot of Jim Butcher novels.
My Kindle is full of The Martian right now. Oh my god.
Oh, what a great book.
If you haven't read it, you guys need to read it. If you have not read The Martian, it's only like 300 pages. I'm a super duper book nerd, so I understand that may be an impossible unit of measure for some people, but I really need for you to read it because it is terribly exciting. And it never occurred to me that I would read a book where the main character is calculating math.
It's a fantastic book.
What's going to happen? I hope he's okay.
It's a really fantastic book.
I stayed up late. I lost sleep over this book.
And it looks amazing. Like it's actually not going to be a bad movie, which is kind of surprising.
That's my favorite part. I was super worried once I finished because over at TMO, both Jeff Gamet and John Martellaro were like, you need to read this book. You need to read this book. You need to read this book. I'm like, fine, I'll read it. So I picked it up and I lost sleep wondering what was going to happen. Kept reading, devoured it. And it's so, so good. And then I started seeing I knew it was going to be a movie. And then the news started coming out about Matt Damon being cast as the main character. And then I watched some of the footage because they have some like bonus stuff that they've shot of the characters in the film. Like, you've been 10 days in solitary confinement and now we're filming your interview now that you've come out of that solitary confinement. And it is the best stuff. And it makes me so happy to see. It's very entertaining. And I absolutely think they nailed the casting. So I really hope that the film is anywhere near as good as the book. And it'll be a very good time.
My book pitch for the moment, for the week, is going to be Naomi Novik's Uprooted, which is her new novel. Naomi Novik, if you don't know, is the author of the His Majesty's Dragon series, the Temeraire series. So if you like the Napoleonic Wars plus dragons, you will like the Temeraire series. But this is her new standalone book. It's called Uprooted. It is based in Polish fairy tales and legends, and it is... it's a fascinating read. It's a strong and interesting female protagonist, and it is available in iBooks right now for $11.99. She's a great author. She's a fascinating and delightful individual, and worthy of your trade. That's not the word I'm looking for. Your custom. She's worthy of your custom. I was trying to find the word for that. Check that out as well. And the book podcast, now we'll come to a close. Now, we could talk about Apple Music. We could talk about other stuff, but it's getting late here on the East Coast. So to remind everybody what we are attempting to do, we are attempting to go for a 2-week cadence. And this is for you, Kieran. Kieran True, who said, "Where were you? Where have you been for 2 months?" We were on vacation. It's so sweet. We were on vacation. We were on our summer break. I was out of the country. Kelly was out of commission.
Yeah. Hi, Kieran. I'm really I'm sad that you missed us, but I'm glad to hear that we were missed.
Likewise. Hate to see you go. Love to watch you walk away. No, wait a minute. That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant at all.
Oh boy. We'll fix it in post.
We'll fix it in post. So we're gonna be this one's gonna be a little sooner than 2 weeks, but we're going about every 2 weeks. We would love to hear from you. So tweet us, review us on the iTunes, tell us what you want to hear about. Left to our own devices, we will talk about geeky stuff. And App Camp, and
that's gonna happen no matter what.
It's gonna happen, but we will happily dig into other topics of community interest. I will be personal appearances.
Ooh.
I am gonna be in San Francisco for Ye Old Dreamforce. Dreamforce is coming the week of September 14th. It's Tuesday through Friday this year. Why is it Tuesday through Friday? Because Monday is Rosh Hashanah. and would make it difficult for people to get there, including me, who it's making difficult for me to get there. But I will be there Tuesday through Saturday, Tuesday through Friday for the show. And I would love to see you. I'd love to meet you. If you are a listener or a subscriber who is in the Bay Area and you want to drop down to Dreamforce, come on over and say hello. Love to see you. And Kelly, where are your personal appearances for the next 6 weeks?
My patio.
There you go.
That's App Camp is basically it. So it's going to be rough unless you're in Portland like now. And by the time this goes out, there's a good chance that there won't be much App Camp left. So you won't even be able to see me there. So I don't really have anything going at the moment. But I do want to say that I'm pretty sure someone you will run into at Dreamforce is Chris Fuller. And hi, yes. Chris Fuller.
Hi, Chris. For those of you who are coming to Dreamforce, you can also make, if you're going to be there the Sunday before or say the Sunday after, you are encouraged to go see a taping of This Week in Tech up in Petaluma. It's a fun time and one of our favorite podcasts.
Yeah.
And who else is doing fun stuff? People are doing fun stuff all the time. There's fun stuff happening everywhere. Magic. Disney's building whole Star Wars land.
Star Wars land. I'm sorry, I'm going to hyperventilate now, so we're going to have to end the show.
So Kelly
Star
is
Wars
putting...
Star Wars land.
Kelly is putting a paper bag over her head that is painted as R2-D2.
It is.
hyperventilate.
Look like R2-D2, sound like Darth Vader. Yeah.
Yes, Star Wars lands. I mean, we don't know much about them other than there will be a cantina.
We know a bunch about it because they've been buying a bunch of land across the street from the park. They bought a bunch of hotels, and what they're going to do is they're going to outsource all of that stuff, and they're going to take all of the office buildings. And in my fondest wishes, what they're going to do is just level Toontown to the ground. And then once they do that, they're going to have a bunch of room for a Star Wars park because it's going to be 14 acres. They need 14 acres for this bad boy. Do you have any idea? And I think that a good portion of what's happening here is that Harry Potter parks have come up in Florida and in California. Yep. And the review I've read of every review I've read of those parks has been, "Dearest Disney, I know you were the ones that started this, but you all need to up your game. Love theme park nerds everywhere." And so Star Wars Land is going to be amazing, and it's going to be so amazing. They're actually going to tunnel under the street in front of Disneyland and keep stuff across the street and then schlep it back and forth through this magical underground tunnel to the other side of the street. It's going to be amazing. They have to move an entire office building full of people all the way across the street. It's going to be different. There's going to be like parking disaster. I can't even imagine how they think that they're going to pull this off, but they're totally going to. Hi.
And that's not even counting what they're doing in Florida, which is they're taking Disney's Hollywood,
Hollywood Studios,
the underwhelming at this point Hollywood Studios. If you read the article, it's kind of depressing.
Yeah, MGM. It used to be
MGM.
MGM Hollywood. MGM's Hollywood Studios, and MGM was like, "We don't want to be associated with us anymore."
It's kind of dreary.
Yeah, even MGM is like, "Yeah, no."
Yeah, there's Tower of Terror, and then there's the actual terror.
Yeah, there's Tower of Terror.
Yeah, but anyway, so a lot of that is getting rebuilt, rebranded, and re-exilarified. There will apparently be the opportunity to smell bantha fodder. Or Bantapudu, as they say.
That's a convincing accent, Mike.
Thank you very much. And there will be a cantina. There will be a Millennium Falcon ride. There will be something from The Force Awakens that we are not yet privy to. There will be all sorts of goodness. So if you are a Star Wars fan or a Toy Story fan, because there will also be a Toy Story, major Toy Story attractions and area.
And do you know why? Because in Japan, they already have a Toy Story land. There's a whole land just for Toy Story.
There will also apparently be Iron Man things going on, which is interesting. I did not realize that despite the fact that Disney owns Marvel, Universal still holds the theme park rights to Captain America, the Hulk, and Thor. Mm-hmm. Which they are unlikely to release anytime soon.
Yeah, just and Spider-Man, I think.
And Spider-Man, that's correct.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the theme park business. It is a tough business. There's no two ways about it.
And just to keep it on Star Wars, very 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 briefly, the current poster that's going round right now for Episode 7. The current poster that is going around right now features front and center a girl, and then behind her is a black person, and then down in the corner is Han Solo.
See?
And I didn't realize that until I like took a good look at it, and I was like, that's really awesome. That's super, super cool. Cause that never would have happened. Well, it didn't happen with the alleged films that came out in the early 2000s. There are rumors of these movies that were made that were supposed to take place before 4, 5, and 6. And so now with 7, I was really impressed that they put a girl front and center on a Star Wars poster, because this is the same company who decided that they had to name the movie John Carter because it was based on the first book of the John Carter series called Princess of Mars. And they said, we can't call it that because if princess is in the title, boys won't go. And if Mars is in the title, girls won't go. So we're going to call it John Carter just to make sure nobody has any idea what on earth it's going to be about. So there you go. I'm really impressed that this was a thing that happened. So if you get a chance, get a good look at that new Star Wars poster because it's really awesome.
It is pretty cool. On that note, I think we will call it a night, but we will be back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You can find me at Mike T. Rose on the Twitters, and you can find Kelly at Verso. And you can find both of us.
Google gobble, Google gobble.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. At @the_aftershow on Twitter or at Aftershow Podcast online. We missed you guys. We're glad to be back. We're sorry that we're going to get our act together. We promise.
Well, we have. We said it would be 2 weeks, and it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah, approximately.
Since we recorded, yes.
Yes, since we recorded. Not since the show. Never mind. We'll get into it. It doesn't have as much effect if we tell people we recorded a show and then I don't actually give it to
them. And then nothing happens. Yes.
We had levels issues. Can I tell people we had levels issues? Is that okay?
I can say, levels is fine. Yeah.
It happens to all guys once in a while. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Anyway, we have been the After Show. We are glad to talk to you, and we will see you in a couple weeks.